Yes, the fat cell just shrinks. Now, when do you get these? When do you make these fat cells?
When you're little.
When you're little. What makes you make these fat cells? Milk. Cow's milk is one of the most important causes of multicell obesity. Milk stimulates the production of adipose tissue cells in the body. Question number two.
You said to
yes.
Eat as little as possible at a smaller quantity. Now, if one doesn't eat free fats and concentrated foods, then it's necessary to eat a larger quantity of the natural food.
Yes, I misstated that when I said eat the smallest quantity that you... I should have said eat the lowest number of calories that you can in order to stay healthy. And when you're overweight, when you reach your normal level and you liberalize your diet just a little bit, you still should stay just at that level that if you ate any less, you would lose down below what you want. Not at that level that if you ate any more, you'd gain some. Do you see what I mean here? Let me just illustrate it this way. It's this kind of thing is like being, we'll lose weight, then we plateau. Then you have to use less food in order to get to the place where we fall over the step onto the next step down. Then we will maintain that level. We will plateau at that level. But in order for us to lose any more weight, we must cut down on the food again. And as we cut down, we will eventually get to the edge and we will fall over to the next level. So when you finally get to the plateau that you want to maintain, still keep cutting down on the food until if you were to use any less food, you would fall over into a level that's below what you want to be. So eat as little food as you can, or as few calories as you can. But we need a lot of nutrients in order to keep our bodies going well. Raw foods, vegetables, without fats, of course, and fruits, and whole grains, again, cooked without fats. This is our very best option in keeping our health going long. Bear in mind this one thing. Of all the things that we know that will promote advanced aging, healthy advanced aging, calorie restriction is the only thing that we can point to with absolute certainty and say, this will, if you will restrict your total calories, that has the greatest likelihood of all other health measures to make you live longer. That includes even exercise, as important as exercise is. So it's a proper amount of food. In the New Start program, the N is nutrition. It's proper nutrition. Okay, question number three. Yes. Question is about the variety of foods, and notice that the greater the variety of foods, this little thumb is pointing downward. As the variety goes up, it will make your set point go up too. So we need a great variety of nutrients. How can we balance our nutrient economy if we're cutting down on the variety of foods at a meal? Well, it's very simple. At one meal, you have potatoes and lettuce and bread. At the next meal, you have grapes and toast and nuts. At the next meal, you have something else that you haven't had in either of those meals. And the next meal, something else that you haven't had in either of those meals. But I find in my home, and certainly when you're doing cafeteria eating, you don't want to go there and take five oranges or three potatoes, people look at you funny if you do that. And so you will have to eat a bigger variety, most likely, if you're eating in a cafeteria or in someone's home. But in your own home, eat a small variety, but change it as frequently as you can. And through the period of a year, we'll get quite a great variety. We're told by inspiration that the great variety that most of us eat is probably not necessary to maintain good health. Okay, we need to know a number of simple dishes. Now, this is like potatoes. This is not like potato salad, but potatoes. Three dishes plus bread and spread is almost the limit. For people who work really very hard, they could have four. And people who are very, very sedentary, like myself, who sit hours at a desk every day, we probably don't need more than two plus bread and spread, do you see? So two to four dishes, simple meals, simple foods at a meal, this represents our best bet. But now, in my home, my cook has to serve a number of people with different appetites and different occupations. And so we do serve a greater variety than I choose. And on my table, on any one morning for breakfast, we will have maybe kiwis and grapefruit and oranges and two or three different kinds of apples and bananas and grapes and maybe some more fruits. And maybe then some dried fruits like prunes and apricots. And I have to look at those and make a choice. What do I want today? Well, yesterday I had thus and such, so today I'll take this. And that's a lot better than taking all of those at one meal, which my appetite would call for if I just gave free rein to my appetite. Same thing is true with cereals. She may have three or four different cereals there, but only, and if it were just my husband and myself, we would probably just have one because I know what his appetite is and I know what mine. And so I pick something that he and I both like, and that with toast and some spread and maybe a fresh fruit. That would be our meal for that breakfast. Yes?
Is it true that if your body is craving, say, a certain fruit or
vegetable? Is it true that a craving is a good key to what your body needs? Generally speaking, for human beings, it is not, because of the psychological aspects of human nutrition. You see, we are not like snakes or dogs that can choose based on their need. We are so influenced by many things, by availability, by expense, by our past addictions, by our allergies. A lot of things determine our selection of foods.
Well, I wasn't talking about like chocolate drinking. I'm talking about
good wholesome food like bananas.
Yeah.
Yes, people who are allergic to bananas may crave bananas. So what we have to do is to study ourselves. In fact, if you have a craving for a food, you can be pretty certain that you have an addiction for that food. Because the intelligent mind should be able to say, yes, that food, I've had enough of that now. I need to move on to some other food for a while. So we have to study our situation. If you learn one thing from this class and no other, it should be, I need to study myself. Because I'm not like Dr. Thrash. She has needs that I may not have. Or you may have needs that your husband does not have. To give you an example, my background for diabetes and heart disease and cancer is a very checkered background, very heavy in all of those diseases. My husband has none of those in his family background. So every year, If there is anything different about his diet and mine, it's that I am more careful than he is in the selection of my food and what I restrict myself from eating. I will be more careful than he is rather than less. Our cholesterols come back once a year. His will be 118. Mine will be 160. Well, I'm not discouraged, because I know I was born handicapped in this way. I was born handicapped in this area. I'm very proud of my ancestors, but nevertheless, we're handicapped in this area, do you see? And so, does that mean that I just roll over and play dead and eat whatever I want? And the answer is no. I must recognize my handicaps and live in relationship to my handicaps. Just as a person would have to live with their handicaps if they had some kind of physical defect instead of a metabolic defect. Question here.
I read an interesting article the other day about advertisers that they're actually making packages now before they make the ingredients, and they're actually pre-sold to people on the package.
Yes.
The ingredients.
I want you all to hear that the food manufacturers are now making the packages before they make the food. They sell you on the package, and then when everybody is sold and the market is ripe, they introduce the food. Okay, let's take another nutritional problem, and that is osteoporosis, or thinning of the bones. Let's get to that one now. Thinning of the bones is something that no woman wants to have. And women have 90% of osteoporosis. Only 10% of it occurs in men. So how do we handle this? Well, first thing is we need to know who is most susceptible. Right off the bat, we know that women are. But second thing we know about osteoporosis is that there is a certain kind of woman who is more susceptible than others. Tall, thin, blue-eyed, and fair-skinned is the most susceptible to osteoporosis, those who are from North European extraction. For any other racial or ethnic group, they are less susceptible. So if your skin is dark and you're not blue-eyed, right off the bat you know that you're not highly susceptible to osteoporosis. Second thing, certain drugs that people take make you more susceptible to osteoporosis or thinning of the bones. One of those is steroids. Steroids are famous for causing the bones to thin. That's both in men and women. If a person takes steroids, that's cortisone or prednisone or any of the drugs that are in this category, for a long period of time, they can count on it that their bones are going to get very thin, and they're very likely to get even pathologic fractures. That's fractures just maybe from lifting my purse, break both my arm bones. That would be what is called a pathologic fracture. Just very small trauma results in a major fracture. Another thing, thyroid medication over long periods of time increase a woman's likelihood of getting thinning of the bones. Now, I don't know how it is here in this area, but in my office, I often have a parade of women going through my office who do not need to be on thyroid medication, and yet they've been taking it for 15 or 20 years. And I say, well, what were your symptoms that made you start taking the medication, the thyroid supplement, and what was your thyroid, what tests did you have, and what were those test levels? Well, I don't remember that a blood test was taken for me, and I think I was just sort of feeling a little bad, or some other thing. Maybe I was cold in the winter, or maybe I was gaining a little weight. Those are common reasons that 15 or 20 years ago, doctors would put women on thyroid supplement, and they're still on it, and with a plan to stay on it as long as they live, until they break a bone, and then the orthopedist says, this thyroid medication that you've been taking, you've got to quit. So then they do a laboratory test and find that she didn't even need it in the first place. So if you're taking a thyroid medication, you make certain that you really need that medication. Now let me say very quickly on the heels of having said that, that if you are truly hypothyroid, that is low in thyroid, then the thyroid supplement can save your life. So you need a small amount. But again, I often see a woman who could get by on half a grain taking 3 grains. And you need to take the smallest amount that you can get by with, and that for as short a length of time as possible. Here is another factor in the thyroid. As we get older, we require less thyroid hormone. Our tissues require it. We are not at the revved up metabolic state that we were 20 years ago, do you see? So as the metabolism falls off, and about each, 5% each decade that our metabolism falls off, we need less thyroid than we did before. And so a woman who had been taking maybe a grain and a half may be able to get by with half a grain, even though she does require some. So those are some points about that I wanted to get right away so that I'd be sure not to forget it. Now let's talk about what Dr. Mark Hegstead, who is without any doubt one of the great deans, probably the dean of nutrition in this country. Dr. Hegstead says that a person only needs about 126 milligrams of calcium in a day. Then why is it that the RDA, the recommended daily allotment, is between 1,000 and 1,500 milligrams a day? Well, there's a very good reason for that. Very good reason for that. Let me show you one of the reasons for that. One of the reasons is the big influence of the American Dairy Council in American economy. The American Dairy Council has one objective, and that is to increase commerce in dairy products. The American Dairy Council does not have your health as its primary concern, but rather the commerce of dairy products. So let's go to every country of the world where it has been studied, and let's see what the women of these countries have in the way of hip fractures, which is a good index of how much osteoporosis there is in this country. In the USA, per 100,000 women, we have 102 hip fractures per 100,000. Our daily intake of dairy is 462 grams per day. That should be grams and not milligrams. In New Zealand, they have 97 hip fractures per 100,000 women. They take a little more dairy than we do, but they also walk a little bit more than we do. And they use a little less meat than we do. In Israel, 70 hip fractures per 100,000 women, down to 315 grams of dairy per day. Singapore, 15 hip fractures per 100,000, down to 113 grams of dairy products per day. And the Bantus, who have the lowest level of hip fractures that we know of in the world, only 5 hip fractures per 100,000 women. And they take only 10 grams of dairy products per day. What is the answer here? Is there something wrong with this picture? And apparently there is, that dairy is not only not the solution to osteoporosis, it is one of the causes. Because in every country of the world where the dairy intake is high, osteoporosis is also high. We lead the world in osteoporosis. We almost lead the world in the daily intake of dairy. So researchers who are researching in this area are now saying, guard the dairy. Guard the dairy intake if you fear osteoporosis. And my feeling is this, that it is just maybe one step this side of criminal to encourage a woman who is past the age of menopause to take 3 glasses of milk per day when it is known to be diabetogenic, known to be atherogenic, that is causing heart disease and artery disease. It is known to encourage cancer. And in the age when all of these diseases likely to go up in a population, to recommend that a woman take 3 glasses of milk a day, I think is very wrong counsel for a woman. Okay, some more causes of osteoporosis. A high phosphate intake. Where do we get phosphate? Soft drinks, you'll find it written on the side of the can. Milk is high in phosphate. Red meats, brewer's yeast, processed meats, processed cheese, baking powder. Half the baking powder sold in this country is phosphate baking powder. The other half is aluminate baking powder, and you will notice right down here that aluminum is also implicated in the formation and the cause of osteoporosis. So baking powder of any kind is to be eliminated from us. And of course, from our diet. And in Councils on Diet and Foods, we are told that, quote, anything like saleratus, which is baking soda, anything like saleratus has a deranging effect on the system. In fact, we're told the whole system, and the bones would be a part of the whole system. Yes? It should be on the tape. It should be on the audio because I'm calling these out as causes. Now, other lifestyle factors, birth control pills, thin the bones, aluminum antacids, tetracycline antibiotics, thyroid supplement, high fat diet, steroids, alum, that's aluminum, anything that has alum in it, including certain types of pickles, alcohol, and smoking. 11 cigarettes per day will cause you to lose 1% of your bone calcium per year. 1 cup of coffee per day causes you to lose 1.5% of your bone calcium per year. So if a woman has both of these bad habits, she takes a cup of coffee per day and just 11 cigarettes, and when I used to smoke it was a lot more than 11. But if she just has these two bad habits, that's all, she will lose 25% of her bone calcium per decade from these two bad habits. What about skim milk? I wish I could tell you that skim milk was a lot better for you, but unfortunately it is even worse, because there is in the fat that helps you to digest the curd and to assimilate it and deal with it, and there is in the curd that will help you to deal with the fat. So when you separate those two, you handle both of them less well than you could handle whole milk. So I don't know of any milk product that's good for you. Is chocolate the same as coffee? Coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate, they all have methyl xanthines in them, while they may not all have caffeine in high quantity. It's the methyl xanthine that causes the osteoporosis. So whether it's theobromine or theophylline or caffeine, it still thins out your bones. And chocolate, I've got many other reasons why. If you've got a problem with chocolate, you need our counseling sheet on that. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope and a dollar, and I'll be happy to send that to you. Okay, let's take some other things. Brewer's yeast is good for you. It's high in B vitamins, but some people take a lot of it. It will also make your uric acid level go up as well. So you need to use it moderately. You can use a little sprinkle. You can make some fake cheeses with it. That's what we use it for mainly in our home, is we make a lot of fake cheeses. So what if you say, my very favorite food in all the world is cheese? I say, well, that's fine. Mine is too. but I just don't eat dairy cheese. I haven't eaten dairy cheese in I don't know how long. 30 years? That was about the time that I read in the Spirit of Prophecy where it says the Lord does not want us to put cheese in the human stomach. It reads like this, quote, get me started on that quote. My jet lag has just caught up with me and I can't remember that. It should never enter the human stomach, at any rate, is the gist of it. Never enter the human stomach. Well, if our divine designer says never enter the human stomach, never is a long time, isn't it? And so, when I first read that in the Spirit of Prophecy, I said, what will I do? So I talked with a good health reformer. I said, I don't think I can live without cheese. She said, why, sure you can. Just make some fake cheeses. And I said, how do you do that? She said, well, it's the easiest thing in the world. And so in our cookbook called Eat for Strength, we have a whole section. I began to ask every woman I knew who was a Seventh-day Adventist, what do you use instead of dairy cheese? Well, she'd give me her recipe. And now we've got all sorts of kinds of cheese. Cheeses that dip, cheeses that spread, cheeses that melt. You can make them up in the oven. You can make them up in a blender. Just all sorts of ways. But yeast is a very good thing to use in the fake cheeses. Just don't use too much of it. Don't use it too frequently. Because it's, as with all other foods, moderation is good. Question here and then yours.
You have fluoride at the bottom there.
Yes. Isn't it true? Okay, the question is about fluoride. And fluoride, a high intake of fluoride, causes osteoporosis, do you see? So isn't fluoride a poison? Yes, it is. It will thin your bones out. Will it do anything else for you? Oh, yes, it does a number of other not good things for you as well. So a lot of municipal water supplies, water companies have quit putting it in their water supply. There have been, of course, some big lawsuits involved with the use of fluorides in water. Is fluoride a waste? The way that we usually get it for commercial use, it is the byproduct of the aluminum industry. And now your question. Okay. What do you use if you're not going to use milk in your cereal? Oh, easiest thing in the world. Now, in my family, soy milk was never, my family just never took the soy milk. And I'm sort of glad they didn't, because a lot of the soy milk preparations on the market today are really unhelpful. Some of these wonderful tasting ones that just absolutely, wonderful. You read the ingredients. What's the first ingredient? Fat. What's the second one? Sugar. The most lethal combination we know for the arteries is sugar and fat together. So I say don't use it, except maybe a little as a condiment, and let's put a little pressure on these companies. If they could make one that tastes that good that's unhealthful, maybe they could get their dietitians busy and design one that would be helpful and delicious. I believe that the Lord will not ask us to give up something, but that He gives us something better. But let me tell you what I put on my cereals. One of my very favorite things is a fruit smoothie. Let me tell you how we make a fruit smoothie. Simply put a few nuts in the blender and put some fruits in it. Your choice, whatever you have on hand. And applesauce is a good one that we use a lot, is applesauce or raw apples and a few nuts, and you've got a nice fruit smoothie. A banana in that as well. Oh, it's delicious. Now, my all-time favorite dairy product substitute is banana ice cream. You ever had it? Okay, most of you have not had it. Some of you have. Some of you live privileged like I do. In the hot South, we like banana ice cream. A little on a hot morning with your cereal, with your morning cereal, or on your waffle, your morning waffle, or just on a piece of toast. If you have some Zwieback, put that down on your plate, pile it high with banana ice cream. Well, isn't banana ice cream unhealthful? Oh, no. Here's the way to make it. Just go to the market, get some ripe bananas, peel them, and freeze them. Next morning, when you're ready for them, you just take them out, break them into a dozen pieces in your blender. You can put a little pineapple juice with it if it's too hard frozen for your blender blades to get a purchase on the frozen bananas. And then you've got out comes soft serve banana ice cream. Now in our household, there are enough of us when we serve banana ice cream that my husband bought for us a nice Champion juicer. You put a frozen banana in up here and push it down with that thing, and out comes it. You cannot believe it's vanilla ice cream right there. And my two favorite dairy products were cheese and ice cream. And I am so thankful to say that you don't have to feel deprived. What is that? Oh, put a few strawberries in there too. Oh, that's wonderful. What was that? Oh, yes, you can put a date in there if you want to. But for our taste, it's sweet enough as it is. But you can dress it up any way you wish, and you will not be disappointed, I can tell you. You eat it then with a fork. And we generally sprinkle some sunflower seeds on top of that, maybe lightly toasted, or some freshly ground almonds, a few chips of almonds, and some wheat germ if you like wheat germ. Now, any kind of nut that has been ground in the factory, and that includes also flaxseed, any of these kinds of things ground in the factory get rancid quickly. So you should buy them whole, grind them in your own kitchen. That includes flaxseed, which is really quite good. Questions over here. Comment that there is a good soy milk product. Pacific Foods has yes, called Soy Supreme, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Then another company makes Soy Supreme, which also has just... boxed already. Okay. Pacific Foods. Okay, those of you who are health food store operators, make note of that. Cheapest way is to make your own. And soybeans are therapeutic. They will keep you from getting cancer and keep you from getting heart disease. Wonderful food, soybeans. Grow your own in your own garden and then cook them fresh. You know how to cook them? Just wash the pods. They're hard to shell, so just wash the pods and steam them. When they're ready to serve, you just pile the whole thing, shells and all, and then people just put them in the mouth and pop the beans out of the shells. It makes a nice way to eat them. People enjoy eating them that way. And of course, you have avoided the tedious job of shelling. Okay, I've got several questions, and I'd like your hands, and then I have some that I'd like to answer here. Number one, number two, number three, and we'll get these three, and then I'll get these that I have. Number one? What about soybean milk? Isn't it too much of a protein for you? You shouldn't really swim your cereal in milk at all, because the more liquid you have with your cereal, the more problem you have digesting it. So you should just moisten the cereal, not swim it, as most children like to pour the milk in and cereal is swimming. Just a little moistening, like a couple of tablespoons full. Now with applesauce, what I really enjoy doing with a dry cereal like granola, by the way, make your own granola, then you can control whether it even has sugar in it or not, whether it even has salt in it. And granola, as it was first made, was not a sweet dish. It was just made, bears the same relationship to cereal that crackers bear to cookies. when you want a cracker, you really need a cracker. You don't need a cookie. Well, it's the same thing with cereal. In our home, we make it just unsweetened, and it's very nice that way. So what I like to do is to put a little nut milk and then put a lot of applesauce on that, so that the principal thing to moisten it is applesauce. Okay, question number two. Yes. 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 Milligrams of calcium. Yes. Okay. The question is, if for some reason you cannot take Premarin, then the doctor will offer to you very large doses of calcium, and that imbalances our nutrient economy as a general rule. And it isn't necessary to do that. There's a lot of controversy going on today about osteoporosis. What helps? Does estrogen even help with osteoporosis? There's a great controversy. Some researchers in the field say it does not help. If it helps at all, it's only for a short time, like 2 years. And then after that, it may actually go the other way, may accelerate your loss of bone. Same thing is true with calcium. Some say don't take calcium because it's likely to do not very good things for your general metabolism. And so we've got all that. But there are two things that nobody denies that will help you avoid osteoporosis. All researchers say that these two things will work: exercise and a vegetarian diet. So do those two things, and that will be probably, and it has 100 other good things that will do for your body. Question number three. Yes, detergent. In America, detergent is one of those things high in phosphate. If we take a lot of detergent into the body, it gives us a stomach upset. In addition to that, it can thin out the bones. But in this country, we generally don't... we generally rinse our dishes in this country. But there are some countries where they pour in the detergent, great billow of suds, wash them, put them on the drain to dry, set the table with those dishes without rinsing them. Even for those of us who rinse our dishes, we probably use too much detergent. You only need a very small amount. So my recommendation to you is use the smallest amount that will clean your dishes. Don't use that smallest amount that will give you suds. You don't need suds. Detergents don't really make suds. It's the soap in it that makes the suds. And the manufacturer knows that the housewife wants a big pillow of suds up there, so he puts just a little bit of soap in it, and so she will really squirt the detergent in until she gets a lot of soap suds, because then he knows he'll pretty soon be selling her another jar of the detergent. Okay, that's the story about detergent. Okay, here is one. Is there any such thing as proper fruit combination? Yes, but maybe not in the way that the person is thinking of. You will find it said that you should not take an acid fruit with a starchy fruit, or an acid fruit with a heavy starch like grains or beans. If we really carried that all the way, then we would not be able to take the Lord's Supper, because it's an acid food with a heavy starch or grain. So I see nothing, and there's nothing from science that would indicate this. There are some theories that some people hold, but it's not generally held in nutrition, and there's nothing from inspiration that would guide us on that. And so my feeling is that the smaller the number of fruits that you have at a meal, but don't necessarily have to restrict the use of beans or grains with it. Do cooked vegetables take away all the vitamin C and nutrients? If you cook them correctly, the answer is no. If you overcook vegetables, then you'll have very little vitamin C left. But if potatoes are properly cooked until they're completely done, this is Irish potatoes, which are high in vitamin C, they will still have 30% of their vitamin C left, which is enough to keep you from, if you had nothing but a small potato every day, baked or boiled, it would be enough to keep you from getting scurvy, just with that one source of vitamin C alone. Vitamin B12 is also a tender nutrient, so we need to cook some things very short time. Vitamin B1 or thiamine is another tender nutrient. Again, it needs a short cooking time. So some things need a long cooking time. What are those? Beans and grains. Beans and grains need long cooking time. And that's especially true with grains. By inspiration, we are told that this is Councils on Diet and Foods. No, it's Ministry of Healing, page 405, isn't it? Or 305. Grains used for cereal or mush require several hours cooking. So we're told that by inspiration. We're not told how long to cook beans. But by experimentation, you can tell that beans digest better if you cook them a long time. I'm sorry? Pressure cooking will, let's say rice, which ordinarily takes about 3 hours to cook. In a pressure cooker, you can do it generally 5 pounds, 1 hour. That's good. If you want every grain to fall apart from every other grain, then you heat it in a dry skillet before you boil it, and that will make it like American palates generally like it. What can you do when three doctors tell you you're hypothyroid and it has ceased functioning? You probably should believe them, because if three doctors tell you and they've done tests, then that they're probably correct on it. What I object to is the doctor who puts a woman on thyroid medication and he's done no tests. She gets cold in the winter, or she's tired. All women are tired, aren't they born tired? One of the reasons why we get tired so much is that we don't drink enough water. And so a woman simply wilts like this, and she drinks water and she perks up like this. So drink plenty of water. Be sure that you remember to do that. Okay, here's another one. If I take steroid, can I take charcoal? It depends on the steroid. Some steroids are artificial. Those you cannot take. They're manufactured. But there are some that are natural, and those you might be able to take. So if you need to take charcoal and you are taking some kind of medication, you need to be very careful about it, because with most pharmaceuticals, as opposed to nutrient supplements, it won't take up nutrient supplements well at all, if at all. But it will not take up, charcoal will not take up nutrients, but will take up poisons. That's why it's the universal antidote in poisonings. But it does not distinguish, it cannot distinguish between an ordinary poison and a pharmaceutical. It just lumps them all together and considers them all poisons. And so it takes them all up. So if you're dependent on a medication, let's say epilepsy medication, or you've been taking hypertensive medication, then you'll need to study the situation very carefully before you take charcoal. If you have a bad case of acute diarrhea, you're expecting only to take one or two doses of charcoal, it's not going to harm your medication most of the time. Okay, let's take a few other things in the cause of osteoporosis. A protein-rich diet, lack of exercise, and the use of coffee. We've already spoken of all of those. And now let's take another one that most people are completely unaware has anything to do with bones, and that is magnesium. Magnesium has to do with the blood pressure, has to do with bones, has to do with digestion and also a calm mental attitude. So if you have any of these problems, it may be that your magnesium level is low. Now, notice here that magnesium reduces neuromuscular sensitivity and tremors. People who have tremors can sometimes benefit by taking magnesium. It has a number of different good things that it does in the body. So, where can we get magnesium? Do we have to take it in a pill? And you may need to, if you've got a disease that you're treating, you may need to take a pill for it. Certainly it will be better than your pharmaceutical. But here are some sources. All grains, all nuts, all seeds, all legumes, especially peanuts, uncooked greens. Cooked greens, unless you steam them and or drink the, what we call in the South, the pot liquor, you will lose some of the magnesium because it is water soluble, especially when it's heated. And then butternut squash and carob, these are good sources of magnesium. Cantaloupe and a variety of fruits, apples, bananas, figs, peaches, and lemons. These are all very good sources of magnesium, beginning from the top and going down in the level of their importance for us. All right, now let's take another thing, and that is, I'd like to close with this, and that is mind control. When I was teaching anatomy and physiology in a college close to our home, one of the little co-eds said to me, when I said you need to control your thoughts, she said, "Dr. Thrash, you can't control your thoughts." And I suspect that she's probably right. You need help from the Lord, don't you, in controlling your thoughts. But notice this. There is not an impulse of our nature, not a faculty of the mind, or an inclination of the heart, but needs to be moment by moment under the control of the Spirit of God. Sorry for the typographical error. This is a principle of life, and the Lord wants us to have this always. Let's bow together and ask for His blessing. Gracious Father, thank You that You've made us so wonderfully and so well. Father, help us to know the grand objective of all of good health is that of a close fellowship with Thee. Help us to recognize how the way that we treat the body is a good index of the closeness of our walk with Thee. And so help us, I pray, to control our appetites. Help us to establish good health habits. Help us, I pray, that we would apply all of the 8 natural laws of health to our maintenance program and use the remedies that nature provides in case of sickness. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.